Yeah, I do feel very encouraged just coming up to teach my lesson this afternoon. The choir sang a lot of songs just about the greatness of God, God being high and lifted up, and God is greater. And that's pretty much what my lesson is on today. You know, sometimes I don't know about other ministers, but sometimes it's not that I don't have confidence. I just want to know that I've really heard from the Lord. And when the songs actually confirm a lot of what God has put in my heart, and I just stand very strengthened and encouraged in the Lord. I feel what I have is from the Lord. I actually want to talk to you about the reigning glory of God. The reigning glory of God. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 6. I'm going to begin at verse 1. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphims flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged." Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" You know, beloved, there's so many things in this story that we can talk about. I mean, it's inexhaustible when you're talking about the glory of the Lord. But there's just something in verse 3 I want to look at. So if you go with me again to verse 3. Verse 3 says, "And one of the seraphims cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" And when we really look at this story, one of the incredible truths that it teaches us is that no matter what's going on in our world, no matter what darkness is encroaching upon the people of God, the glory of God fills the earth. The glory of God fills the earth. As dark as our world may be, as depraved as it is, as broken as it is, as fragmented as it is, as wrecked as it is, as shattered as it is, the glory of God fills the earth. And not only does the glory of God fill the earth, but the glory of God reigns in the earth. The glory of God rules supreme in the earth. That the glory of God that is gloriously being manifested in this earth is greater, more powerful, more triumphant, more life-changing than any power or force in this world. Listen, beloved, the glory of God reigns in our earth. So now we have to ask the question, well, what is the glory of God that is being manifested in this earth today? What is this glory that is filling the earth more powerful and triumphant and life-changing than any force in the earth? Well, there are so many things that we can talk about. When you're talking about the glory of God, that is just one topic that is inexhaustible. You can't exhaust the topic of the glory of God. But there's actually three things in Isaiah 6 that I want to share with us tonight regarding the glory of God and how God's glory reigns supreme in our world. But before we do that, let's just set the story up. So look with me at Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 1. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple." So our story starts out, King Uzziah is dead, and Isaiah is in the temple. And we ask the question, what's so important about that? Well, when we understand the context of the scripture, we see that King Uzziah died in a time where God's people need him the most. You see, King Uzziah was a very godly king. He wasn't a perfect king, but he was a very godly king who tried his best to rule in righteousness, and he died. And at the time of his death, what's happening here in the context is the Assyrian army is on its way to Jerusalem. The Assyrian army is coming to surround Jerusalem and plunder Jerusalem. And if you know anything about the Assyrian kingdom, they were a very brutal people. They were a very barbaric people. They were a people who thought of new ways of torture to torment their enemy captors. They were just a very brutal people. And so now the king, when they needed him the most, he's dead. So Uzziah is dead, and Isaiah is now in the temple, and he's praying. Isaiah is in deep trepidation of spirit, and he's talking to the Lord, and he's saying, oh God, what's going to become of your people? What's going to become of your nation? God, when the Assyrians come here, what is going to become of our heritage, and what's going to become of this temple? And there's just a deep trepidation in his heart. But suddenly, God does something that Isaiah does not expect. God shows up to his prayer meeting. You know, something in his heart says, oh God, I am here to pray, but I didn't know you was going to come in person. You know, God shows up to his prayer meeting. And when God shows up in that very dark, fearful time, there is a revelation of the glory of God that is filling the earth. And not just filling the earth, but ruling and reigning in the earth. You see, verse 1 goes on to say, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And it's as if God made himself visible to remind Isaiah that while I'm invisible, I still reign in glory over the earth. That even though I am invisible, my throne is still above every throne. My throne is still above every power. My throne, I reign, Isaiah. That's what he's saying to Isaiah, that no matter the encroaching darkness, my glory still fills the earth and reigns in the earth. So let's ask the question, according to Isaiah 6, what is the revelation of God's glory that is filling and reigning in the earth? Well, number one, the revelation of the glory of God himself. Look with me again at chapter 6, verse 1. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Beloved, what an incredible revelation of the glory of God. Isaiah is praying about the encroaching enemy. He's praying about the encroaching darkness. And suddenly the spiritual veil is pulled back, and Isaiah sees the incredible majesty of God. And the Bible says that his robe filled the temple. In other words, every nook, every cranny, every pinhole was filled with the glory of God. The train, the glory of God, filled the temple. And my question to you is, you know, can you imagine the terrible awe of that moment? And can we imagine the terrible awkwardness of that moment? Listen, there's nowhere Isaiah can go without bumping into the glory of God. If he goes this way, he bumps into the glory of God. If he turns this way, he bumps into the glory of God. Listen, beloved, can you imagine suddenly this man, frail, unclean, weak, defiled, cannot move anywhere without rubbing against the holiness of God? Can you imagine the terror of that moment? Then the Bible tells us Isaiah saw the throne of God high and lifted up. That the revelation comes to Isaiah's heart. This great, glorious God is high and lifted up above every throne, above every kingdom, above every earthly power. And suddenly, Isaiah is not thinking about the Assyrians anymore. Assyria who? Whoa. ISIS who? North Korea who? Kim who? I came here to pray about who? And beloved, here's my point. When the eyes of our heart has truly been opened by the Spirit and the Word of God to see the glory and the majesty of God, no matter what kingdom rises up in the earth, no matter what kings are doing in the earth, what lives in the hearts of God's people is this: my God reigns. My God reigns. Let ISIS spread its terror over the earth. My God reigns. Let dictators build their nuclear bomb. My God reigns. Even when floods and hurricanes and earthquakes come, in the midst of all the loss, in the midst of all the grief, there will still be a people standing in the grace of God, lifting holy blood-washed hands, singing, my God reigns. My God reigns. Amen. I'm not a singer, or I'd sing it. My God reigns. 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 He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. God reigns. God reigns. Amen. So again, we're answering the question. Verse 3 says, the whole earth is full of God's glory. And we're asking a question according to Isaiah 6. What is the revelation and manifestation of God's glory that is filling the earth and reigning in the earth today? And the second truth is, it's the revelation of the glory of God's grace that's reigning in the earth today. Look with me at verse 5. We're in Isaiah chapter 6. Look with me at verse 5. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Beloved, isn't it comforting to know that no matter how dark our world becomes, no matter how depraved our world comes, the revelation of God's holiness will always be able to penetrate and convict men of its sinful heart? That's the mercy of God. No matter how dark and depraved our world becomes, the revelation of God's holiness will be able to penetrate the heart and convince mankind of its need for God, as long as His Word and His Spirit and His grace reigns in this earth. Beloved, look with me at verse 5 through 7. It says, so I said, woe is me, for I am undone. Look with me at verse 6. Then one of the seraphims flew to me, having in his hand live coals, which he taken from the tongues of the altar, and he touched my tongue with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. Beloved, that's the grace of God. And because it so plainly mentions the altar and it so plainly mentions your sin being purged, it's ultimately talking about the grace of God that flows from the cross. That's what it's talking about. And here's one of the truths that God is conveying to Isaiah. Listen, Isaiah, I not only reign over the darkness out there, but I reign over the darkness in here. I reign, Isaiah. I not only reign over the darkness in the world, but I reign over the darkness in your own life, and it's called the triumphant grace of God. And beloved, this is what I want you to notice. When you really look at the story, it's at that moment that in Isaiah's life, all fear is gone. There's an awe in his heart for God, and there's such a deep reverence in his heart for God. I mean, who wouldn't be in the awe of God when you have that kind of vision and revelation? But that fear in the heart of being afraid of God, that fear in his heart is gone. And it just so reminds me of the time of how freely we came in here tonight, and we sang that song, he's high and lifted up, and we sing holy, holy, holy. I'm telling you, we're standing in the awe of God, but that fear of God is gone in our life, and that's the power of grace. Because we know we've been cleansed and we're in right standing with God. And God is saying, what he's saying is this: if you don't have to fear what's in here, then there's nothing else to fear out there. God is saying, beloved, isn't it incredible how when inside of you that darkness is turned to life, isn't it incredible how fearless you become? When suddenly, like that kingdom Pastor Carter talked about today, when suddenly inside of you darkness has turned to light, beloved, what in this world is there to fear? That's just a question that's in my mind. Listen, if God has conquered the darkness in our life, what darkness in the world is there to fear? And it's just how amazing that when we become born again and get a revelation of the grace of God in our life, how fearless we become. When you look in Isaiah's life, all fear is gone. And beloved, this grace we see is a glorious grace. Because there's nothing more glorious in this earth than a life that's been transformed by grace. It's a glorious grace because there's nothing more glorious in this earth than a life that has been changed by grace. And this grace truly reigns in the earth because there's no life that grace can't change. I'm telling you, the grace of God reigns in the earth because there's no life the grace of God can't change. I believe that with all my heart. It reigns in the earth. You know, when I first got saved, let me tell you how I got saved real quick. I got saved in a party. I was drunk and high on dope when I got saved. I was in this party. I was in this room just partying, and suddenly the Spirit of God came on my life. There wasn't a preacher there. There wasn't a choir there. I was just surrounded by idolaters and adulterers, and I was one of them. And the Spirit of God just came on my life, and the conviction came in my heart, and I headed for the door. And I have to tell you, before I got out the door, I was saved. I went to work the next morning. Didn't have time to take a shower. I party all night. I went to work the next morning, still smelling like alcohol and reeking of drugs. And I knew my boss was a believer, so I went up to my boss and I said, "Boss, I got something to tell you. I got saved." He looked at me and said, "That's great. Good luck." Well, 2 years later, after my salvation experience, I got a newsletter introducing Mount Zion School of Ministry, Mount Zion School of Ministry. I applied and I got accepted. And my very last day at work, my whole department threw me a going away party. And somewhere during that going away party, my boss came to me and he said, "Tim, do you remember that time 2 years ago you told me you got saved?" And I said, "Yeah, I remember that." And he said, "Do you know what went through my mind when you told me you got saved?" I said, "He won't last a week. He won't make it through a week." And then he looked at me and he said, "I've never been so wrong in my life." And you know what the highlight of that day was? Before the little going away party ended, all the people gathered around me. We're talking about hardened sinners, idolaters, drunkards, drug pushers. They gathered around me. And they said, "Before you go, will you pray for us?" Amen. Beloved, I'm telling you, God's grace triumphs in the earth. Anyone who lays a hold of that grace and surrenders that grace, they will be transformed. Doesn't matter how dark the times are, how depraved the times are, God's grace rules in the earth. You know, it's sad to say, but not every Christian truly believes in the reigning, changing power of grace. You know, when my father was pastoring not long ago, a man came to his church, and this man got saved in my father's church and immediately got a hunger for the word of God and got into the word of God. And I'm telling you, he was beginning to live the transformed life. But not long after that, my mother got a phone call. And she answered the phone, and the lady of the other end, at the other end of the phone, was a lady who goes to the church down the road. And she said to my mother, "Do you know who you have in your church?" She said, "This man's been in prison for many years for an atrocious crime, and he's a despicable man. Keep that man in your church. We don't want him coming over to our church." And I couldn't help myself. You know, when my mom told me that, I said, "Mom, next time this woman calls you and says, 'Do you know who you have in your church?' say, 'I most certainly do know who I have in my church. In my church, I have a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new.'" And this man, he may very well become the next Billy Graham. He may well become the next Apostle Paul. He may very well become the next Nicky Cruz. Because when grace changes your life, it changes your life. In my heart, I can just hear Paul say in Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 6, he said, "Praise to the glory of his grace." Praise to the glory of his grace. Amen. The grace of God reigns gloriously in the earth today. In all the earth, there's not a greater manifestation of the glory of God than the power of the cross. In all the earth, there's not a greater manifestation of the glory of God than a life that's been transformed by the grace of God. Amen. Again, we're asking the question, according to Isaiah 6, what is the revelation and manifestation of God's glory that fills and reigns in the earth? Number three, it's the revelation of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ reigns in our earth today. Look with me, Isaiah chapter 6, look with me at verse 8. "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?'" Beloved, ultimately, when you look at it, this is the call to evangelism. This is the call to evangelize the earth with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Look with me at verse 8. "And I heard the voice of him saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Beloved, this is the response of a heart touched by the glory of God's grace. Isaiah is saying, after your grace has so touched my life, there's nowhere else for you to look. God, send me. And I'm telling you, that is always the response of a heart that's been deeply touched by grace. A heart that's been deeply touched by grace, it's always a natural response. God, there is nowhere else you have to look. Send me. What is an evangelist? An evangelist is somebody that's just been touched by the grace of God, and there's no other response that they can make. God, you don't have to look to the left. You don't have to look to the right. Here I am, God. Send me. And I like, I'll just throw this in. It's not in my notes. I like how it says the angel of God took coals. You know what coal is? Coal is a fuel. And I think what God is teaching us is simply this. What is it that fuels the fire of evangelism in our church? It's the message of the cross. It's the message of the grace of God. You want to see the church come alive again with the spirit of evangelism? Let's preach the grace of God again. Let's preach the message of the cross again. Amen. Here am I, send me. This also speaks of an understanding that comes into the heart that says, in this dark time, I have been raised up for a reason, to bring the message of light, to bring a message of life, to bring a message of hope that the darkness cannot put out. That's why I'm in this dark time. That's why God has planted me in this season. God has put a message in my life, and I'm here to share a message of hope that the darkness, no matter how deep it is, it cannot put out. You know, this morning, Pastor Carter said something that God has been writing in my heart. He said, it's in the darkest times we come to understand the only thing that matters is people. You know, God has been writing that in my heart. You know, about 4 or 5 months ago, a loneliness came into my heart that I can only describe as agonizing. It was an agonizing loneliness. And out of this agonizing loneliness, I started going on walks with God. During lunchtime, I would just get out, find a gravel road, and go on walks with God. And I have to tell you, when I first started going on these walks with God, I didn't say anything. I just listened to the gravel crunching under my feet. But somewhere on these walks, God began to speak to me. And God began to show me that life is so short. That, listen, as James says, our life, our visitation to heaven, so to speak, is only like a vapor of smoke away. It's so short. And as I was going on these walks with God, I began to get a realization, God, there's only two things in this world that last forever. God, there's only two things in this earth that last forever. Number one, it's your word. And number two, it's people. Everything that exists in this earth, there's only two things that are going to last forever. And that's God's word. And that's people. And I really, on these walks with God, I really begin to challenge my own heart. What am I living for? Where am I spending my time? Where am I spending my strength? Where am I spending my passion? God, what am I living for? When there's only two things in this earth that's going to last forever. And a deeper resolve came into my heart. And I began to tell the Lord on these walks with God. I began to tell the Lord, God, I truly want my life to be lived for the benefit of others. God, I truly want my life to be spent being poured out for others. And God, secondly, I truly want your word to be my greatest treasure. And I truly want to speak your word when you open the door and when you give me opportunities. And that's almost every day in the classroom. Beloved, when God needed to write a deeper resolve in my heart, I'm so thankful he knew how to draw me deeper to his presence. And I want to tell you something. Those walks started out agonizing. But when God began to speak, they became very sweet times in the presence of the Lord. And I can tell you, I've come out of those times with just two things in my heart. Number one, I want to live for the benefit of others. I want to be poured out for others. And secondly, I want to love the word of God. So what are we living for? What are we spending our time on, our strength on, our passion on, when there's only two things that have eternal value? And that's God's word and people. Amen. Beloved, we are the only people in the world who have the only message of hope the darkness cannot put out. We are the only people in the world who have the only message of hope that darkness cannot put out, no matter how deep the darkness. I'm laughing because I'm remembering a dream the Lord gave me many years ago, and I just hope it's all right to share with you a dream, because I know it was from the Lord. In this dream, I was right in the middle of a nuclear war. I was standing in this city, And I saw in the background, I saw all the mushroom clouds that go with nuclear bombs, and suddenly buildings are starting to fall and people are running in a blind panic. But strangely, I'm walking down the street with my hands in the air singing sweet love songs to Jesus. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. And people are running in blind panic and buildings are falling. And suddenly this man grabs me out of nowhere and he says, "What's wrong with you? Are you mad?" He says, "Are you lost your mind? Look at you. The world is coming to an end." And I just smiled back at him and said, "There's always hope in Jesus." And he said, "What?" I said, "There's always hope in Jesus." "There's hope in who?" "Jesus." "There's hope in Jesus?" "There's hope in Jesus." "There's hope in Jesus." "There's hope in Jesus." And then I gave him the gospel plan and gave him the plan of salvation. Now we're right in the middle of a nuclear holocaust. And I give him the gospel plan and he gets saved and the dream ends. We are in a nuclear war, arm in arm, skipping down the street. Blessing the name of the Lord. And when I woke up from that dream, God spoke to my heart and he said, "Tim, it doesn't matter if it looks like the world's coming to an end. There is always hope in Jesus." Beloved, we are the only people in the earth who have a message of hope that the darkness of this world cannot put out. And that is the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ reigns in the earth. As dark as the times are, the glory of God reigns in the earth. As dark as the times are, the glory of his grace reigns in the earth. As dark as the times are, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ reigns in the earth. Amen. Beloved, our God reigns. Amen. Amen. Our God reigns.